No, I've been thinking about that Ashton Hall thing.
Yeah, like, I was just about to ask you, Alec, walk me through your morning routine.
Yeah. So, this is topical, and we'll try and release this on a schedule to where this is still like the thing of the week or whatever. But Ashton Hall, if you're on Twitter or if you're familiar with any of the social medias, you've seen this guy. He's the
Let me just say it's another episode of Propaganda. It is Tuesday, March 25th, 2025 at 8:05 p.m. I don't know about you, Alec, but at 7 a.m., my alarm goes off and I immediately hit snooze. At 7:10 a.m., my alarm goes off again and I hit snooze. This repeats until 8 a.m. when I wake up and I take my morning shit. After that, I go and have a coffee and stare at my phone while my fiance asks me, why don't we communicate more often?
Do you shit before your morning caffeine or whatever? Mine is decidedly after my first tea.
I'm on Mounjaro and antibiotics, so it's just like I gotta get it done first thing in the morning. Trust me,
one of those
after my caffeine. I mean, I could go through my whole day, and it's like at 10:15, I'm at work getting paid to poop on the clock.
I'm shitting again. Yeah. I'm looking. I think the Ashton Hall video starts at 3:52 a.m., which is insane.
Insane. Let me turn my fan on. I'm listening.
So I think the thing that struck me, and like everybody's clowning on this guy for, you know, dunking his face in bottled water in a bowl full of ice and then like wiping his face with the banana peel that he just ate, and like a bunch of stuff in the video that's very funny. But like this guy as a lolcow is kind of indicative to me of like the current moment in so many ways, because like this, let me announce that I'm not big on TikTok, but that this has spawned a bunch of people posting also their morning routines, some more so directly influenced by American Psycho, the film, based on the Brett Easton Ellis novel. Ashton is doing a thing kind of like that. Right. All of them are similar to that. Right. And that this is what I do before I wake up so that I'm ready for, you know, my day as influencer guy slash, you know,
he is a Florida based fitness instructor, like a private
instructor. Yeah.
He's a private trainer, basically,
which is, I mean, trust me again. Right. Not to dive into the minutia of him and his life, but like this man is clearly on a lot of steroids, which is such a funny like thing to be like, I'm a guy who gives you advice presumably over the internet as to how to work out, and he's massive, right? In
You're
a way that is
jacked.
that is not natural. I mean, you can't even pretend, right? This is like WWE levels of enormous muscle mass. His shoulders are just like, it looks like there's a person in like a muscle suit, right? And as many people have pointed out, his pecs are like enormous to the point of just being breasts. he's huge, right?
Absolutely jacked.
But like the thing that I've been thinking about like all day, ever since I talked to Connor and I tried to like place what about it is so bizarre, is that because all of this is based kind of in some fashion on the imagery of American Psycho, the film, right? Which I'm presuming here for our listeners that they've seen. Like the thing that the novel and the film both get so right about Patrick Bateman, but that's kind of unintelligible if you're not like of that mind, right? If you're kind of a dum-dum and you're not interested in the satire that is honestly hard for a lot of people to parse, what you see is a bunch of aesthetic images, right, that just look like a cool guy, right? And the point of both the novel and the film, the thing that they have in common that they both get right, because they do differ somewhat, is that Patrick Bateman is a do-nothing asshole, right? He is a clear nepotism case that works at his father's, you know, admittedly investment hedge fund or investment bank, or who knows what the fuck Pearson Pierce actually is, right? Some kind of consultant firm. It's a nothing job. And the fact that he does the morning routine is indicative to any normal person that this guy cannot be normal. He can't have an actual real productive job because nobody's got the time for this shit, right? He rolls in to fucking work at some time in the mid to late morning, right? It's unclear what he does over there, and it's later revealed that he mostly just doodles and harasses his secretary and then goes to lunches with other guys that are basically him. They're all fake, right? And then this like TikTokification, right? Like 20 years later, we're at the point where individuals can make their own version of this routine, and they have totally synthesized that aesthetic into just the cool guy aura. They are ignorant to their own, to themselves, that they are recreating a guy that does nothing, who is a fake person, right? In that he doesn't share any of the normal, timing restrictions, I guess, right? Of like, of doing stuff in the morning other than eating a bowl of cereal and getting the kid ready for school and then, pouring some coffee real quick before you head out the door, right?
Yeah.
This manicured lifestyle is not real in the way that other people's lives are real. And then like, I know I'm getting somewhere with this, Connor. Like it's even unreal on another level when you learn, as some enterprising people on Twitter have learned, that Ashton Hall was attempting to be fitness guru influencer guy and is so bad at it. It is such an impossible task that he at some point recently was evicted from the apartment in which this was filmed. So like, he's not Patrick Bateman because he's not a nepotism case. He's a striver trying to do an aesthetic thing, right? And changing his lifestyle, creating a lifestyle in which he could theoretically sell a brand or himself or something, and is utterly failing at that. And that doesn't stop him or other people who look at that and say, I also want to do this, from attempting to do a thing that is based on something that is supposed to be so alienating and like American Psycho that it is fake, right? That it should come across to anybody normal as utterly fake.
Yeah. We have a few things to talk about tonight, but we did want to touch on this because it, for one, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the thing that makes me laugh the hardest in this clip is when, I'm sure you've seen this with other men you hang out with, when the love of your life, the woman that you invite to stay in your house with you and, make you breakfast, when they bring you food, he's just like, thanks.
Somewhere halfway through the video, he's handed like a bowl of like oatmeal or something by someone off screen.
It's avocado toast, scrambled eggs, and turkey bacon. Like handmade. Yeah, handmade. And there's even like whoever, the woman that is making, by the way, the only women that are in this are just like giving him things and serving him. So the woman that is in this video, she herself is filming her making him breakfast, brings it to him, and he's just like, thanks. And then when he's on the phone with the boys, he lights up, and that's the line of like, so looking at it, bro, we got to go ahead and get in at least 10,000.
At least 10,000.
So stoked. Yeah.
So looking at it, bro, we got to go ahead and get in at least 10,000.
And then so when like perfect. Someone paying you to like make them, you're deluding them into thinking that you're going to get absolutely jacked and be like, and the next Jack Reacher, whenever they recast him, you're so excited. And then someone who genuinely cares about you brings you food. When my fiance makes me food, I lose my fucking mind. It's like the best thing. It's so good. Even if it's bad, it's like automatically so good. It's that act of service. It's like, oh, thank you so much. This guy, it's just so funny. But I think that's also intentional because this is part of the wider manosphere of selling men. Like, this is what you should be like. You know, we have Andrew Tate that's like this. We've got, what's his name? Dan Bilzerian, who's, look up Dan Bilzerian. Like, I don't know how he has. I don't know how he's a nepo baby.
He's an actual nepo case. Yeah, his dad's like a hedge fund guy.
I don't know how, when his dad, went to fucking prison. Like, I don't understand.
They don't take all your money whenever in the settlement or whatever.
I guess he had an airtight trust.
I just can't stop thinking about it. Like, critically, Patrick Bateman doesn't do any of that, so other people will look at him. He doesn't do the crunches. The crunches aren't what you look at. You look at the final product of this unattainable guy, where you go, like, how do these fucking guys in New York, how are they trim and proper and they have all this money? And the secret is their nepotism cases, right? Like, but him doing all this stuff is to create the him that's walking around, the manicured version of himself.
Right.
The thing that you're after is not a guy that does crunches in his apartment, right? Like, those guys are so insane that they murder people, right? In, like, American Psycho. And, another thing, like, if you're to be a little bit critical of Bret Easton Ellis, Bret Easton Ellis is an opinionated conservative gay man, right, of the era of, like, the 1980s. And one of his big critiques of Patrick Bateman, of this person that he's imagining, is that they don't have any taste, right? They're elite without any elite sensibilities. They're not actually elevated in their... They're not embodying the tastes that they exude, right? It's just a shell. It's just a thing that they wear because that's the kind of suit that a guy that works at Pierce & Pierce, a hedge fund guy, wears. It's just the uniform of that kind of guy. And
right.
And Patrick Bateman is actually quite shallow because his tastes are not as elevated as his social or economic standing would have you believe. Right.
It's the meme of the, like, manly American Psycho starter kit. And it shows you, like, all the images that go with that aesthetic, with that brand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of trying to look like at least Patrick Bateman. Right. As opposed to this. Right. That 20 years later, the TikTokification is everybody's doing the motions of Patrick Bateman. Right. They're all trying to present to the world that they are doing the same thing to try to sell Saratoga water or supplements or something that's, like, so much further under what Patrick Bateman would do.
Here's the thing that makes it more pathetic. He is not sponsored by Saratoga Springs.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if he was wanting to get a deal. Like, Saratoga had said, like, look, we're grateful that that's in the video. Like, clearly we were doing our job. And, like, has this affected your sales at all? I'm like, we're not answering that question. Because if we say yes, we're going to owe that guy $1 billion.
Right. We're going to look bad because we didn't give him a deal. Right. Yeah, you're right. He's not even a successful influencer. He's a failed influencer. He's a guy striving to be an influencer.
He's giving it away for free.
A fake of a fake. Yeah, it's just, I love the propaganda that we're making for ourselves, right? Because it's, it is a kind of marketing, right? That, like, you couldn't even like imagine in the most insightful satire, like, before it actually appears, right? It's so much weirder than that.
I'll say the most American Psycho thing I got from the video, because I had to rewind it. I mean, it's like 33 seconds. I had to rewind it and watch it again because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And after he eats a banana, he rubs the peel.
Yes.
He rubbed the peel on his face. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? I've never done that. If I get banana peel stuff on my hand, I immediately wash my hand, like, ugh, gross. It's all sticky.
Other people have pointed out that in the Manosphere alley of what you were saying, he's breaking the banana off to eat chunks of it so as to not put the elongated penile banana in his mouth, which is an utterly bizarre way to eat a banana. He's in front of a sink in his like very modern
underwear.
Gray, black, in his underwear in the bathroom. And then the banana is peeled back as it would be. And then he's breaking the chunks off of the top of the banana. So I presume only, right, other people pointed out, so as to not be accused of doing anything gaily, like not doing the banana in the mouth. So they can't screenshot that and be like, yo, bro, kind of sus, right? Like, this is the level that we're on, man.
I mean, if you look at the sheer amount of time codes in that video, it is heavily produced. I would love to see, give me the raw footage. Because I don't know if I necessarily believe how accurate the times are in the final product. This is exactly when it all happened. But he also had to integrate the edits with the woman who prepared him breakfast. I would like to assume it's his girlfriend or significant other or whatever. I don't think it's his wife because he wears a ring on his middle finger, not his ring finger. But I don't know. What do I know?
I have to ask. So you live in a big city. You live in Houston. Uh-huh. I have seen, I think, on the streets of Lake Charles, I've seen maybe once or twice somebody that's obviously filming something to where, like, it's the middle of the day, I'm going to lunch, and they're like on a corner in our downtown, which we have like one block that looks kind of old and like somewhat interesting. And they're doing like one of these phone camera in front of them, like twirls, right? And then they stop and look at their phone, and then they're doing something else and they stop and look at their phone. That is, I assume, what you have to do to make one of these TikTok videos. Have you ever seen that thing happening in Houston? Because like, that's crazy. Yeah. This guy goes to the gym. He's got to have like a cam. He's got to have at least another person to videotape all this stuff. So, maybe it's his girlfriend. I don't know.
I mean, in Texas, it's wildly easy to do stuff like this because we're a single party state when it comes to recording. I could say, like, can you please not, you know, put my face in your video or your photo or whatever? And they just like, they'd probably leave it into the video and be like, this guy was totally rude to me while I was at the gym.
Yeah, sure, man.
I mean, I've been at the gym and have seen people like recording themselves while they work out, and like, you're the bad guy if you like look over at it. I mean, if you stare and linger, yeah, don't do that, you're on camera. But even if you just like, what are you doing, you're the bad guy. There's a place in downtown Houston called Post where upstairs they will have like, every now and then you go onto the roof and like there's so many people with those ring lights, and they're doing like, I'm at the Christmas tree event and I'm making like a TikTok. There's people that will, you know, approach you downtown. Usually they approach women downtown and while they're drunk and ask them questions. Similar to like how the Hawk Tua girl became popular. Just like, let me approach this drunk woman and ask her, you know, about her favorite sex acts, which is predatory in its own way.
Harassing women on the streets on video. Awesome. Cool.
Yeah. For likes, that happens. Yeah, I mean, I also, you know, I've talked before, I work at a college, so there was a while where when B-Reel was popular, the B-Reel chime would go off and all the students would be like, oh, we got to do the B-Reel. And me, not knowing what that was like, I don't want to be anywhere around this.
Please, don't put me in your leaving. I don't know what B-Reel is. I don't want to know. I'm not going to Google it. I don't want to know.
My grad program, I am the second oldest. There's one person older than me, and I'm older by everybody by about 10 years. And so they will take, you know, TikTok videos together. They'll do like, you can't see it, listeners, but I'm doing this like thing that TikTokers do where they wave their hand in front of their mouth. And they're just like, I see that happen a lot.
What? I don't know what that is.
Alec, it is not for us to understand.
I see. Of course.
I mentioned the phrase Dear John letter, and my fiance pointed out like that is such an old, antiquated concept. Nobody knows what the hell you're talking about.
That's
so like,
sad.
I my references are old, so I'm not even going to try to get into TikTok. I'm on Blue Sky. I like
Yeah. We're on Blue. Or is Propagandos Pod on Blue Sky?
Yeah. And Propagandos is also on TikTok. And I don't think I've posted anything because I'm like, I don't.
We'd have to post our faces. And yeah, my face is embarrassing. I don't want it up there.
My face has been on the internet enough. I don't want that to happen again.
For real.
Maybe we'll get on Zhao Hongxu. I don't mind all the people in China seeing my face.
Okay.
But question for you.
Yeah.
Because I after we got off the phone, I started thinking about the manosphere my own way. And I feel like you and I both have walked away from and have done work to get away from that. Like, what does it mean to be a man? Like, the art of manliness was a blog that I read once upon a time before I met some cooler people than angry men online. I'll admit it. You know, I got picked on in high school, so of course I like became like pretty pissed off and angry all the time. And like but it took a lot of work to get away from that. And so I wanted to ask you, what had your experience been with being involved in the Manosphere and then walking away from the Manosphere?
I would say that the Manosphere stuff, like you're talking about, I haven't had contact with since probably high school. So, yeah. I went to not all male, but an 80% male college, right? So, ironically, when you're among men, all of a sudden, trying to act like a man and trying to be manly becomes very, very, very silly because there are virtually no girls there, and we don't know any of them, even if they are there. And who are you performing for, right? Performing for other dudes, your manliness seems... it insists too much, right? If you catch my drift. So that stuff kind of gotten beaten out of me, but then like the aesthetic stuff, probably, you know, early 20s, you put gel in my hair and learn to wear, you know, small t-shirts as opposed to medium, you know? And once that stuff worked, that couple year period, it's all done for me right after that. You know, my fashion is basically Banana Republic circa 2012 still, even though nobody even sells those clothes anymore. like, by the way, I think that's part of becoming a man is finding an aesthetic choice that is comfortable to you and then never changing that ever.
Yes. Yes. I buy every t-shirt. I pretty much only buy blank t-shirts and a giant bag that I can get at Target or Walmart. They're like $11 for 5 shirts. It's awesome. I used to be a graphic tee guy. I was like threadless, hee hee hee. And then one day I was like, nope, I'm done with that. I'm completely done with that.
You buy the slightly nicer monochrome t-shirt / undershirts from Target. It's a great look. And because I think Connor, let's admit, we're both influenced by like a hipster aesthetic, I have many ball caps, which I will use to accentuate my wardrobe, right? Yeah. Ironic podcaster or just totally unrelated nonsense baseball caps. That's my thing, right?
Yeah.
For better or worse, it's a bad look a lot of the time, but I'm doing it. That's what I like. That's me, baby.
That'd be good. As for me with the Manosphere, I lied. I was a feminist from birth. So that.
Oh, yes.
I gotcha.
I mean, that's you joke, but like if you live with a woman for a couple months, right? I think the confidence that builds fundamentally alienates you from needing like other men to tell you how to be a man and what to think about women and all of this stuff, right? Like, it fixes you, you know, in quotes.
I've also spent like thousands of dollars in therapy, so that helped a lot too.
I spent thousands of dollars drinking for many, many years. So,
yeah, I think there's also something where it's like you look up to men, the young man, like you look up to these older men you meet at bars or out and about, and you like really like maybe they're the smartest guy you've ever met, right? Like I've had professors like this. I'm like, oh my God, you're so brilliant. I want to be like you. And then, you know, maybe they go through a divorce and fuck a student. And then you're like, oh, you're like the most pathetic guy I know. I cannot be you. And I imagine you've had that in incidents where like with guys you've drunk with or drank with and you're like, oh, I don't want to end up like you. I have to get out of this cycle.
I've definitely had good influences from bars. A number of men who have, you know, helped, by the way, right? It's not just me, helped me acclimatize to being an adult and being normal and being comfortable with who I am. And many that I was like, this guy seems really cool. And then you learn a little bit too much and you're like, oh, okay. That's why you're 10 years older than me and you have no functional relationships outside of this bar.
I've known you for 4 years and you never once mentioned you have a daughter that lives two states away.
Yup.
Okay.
So you just got done with your third divorce or you. So I saw in the paper that you're on your fifth DUI, right?
That's such that a is, small count thing.
that is literally, I'm not joking at all. We saw it in the newspaper at lunch and we were like, ooh, he is not doing good.
I know Galveston, the local paper in Galveston, has something similar, or on the back page. It's like, here's all the people we arrested this week. And dude, so many of them are piracy.
It's piracy, like stealing piracy. Movies.
No, stealing, no, like
gold like doubloons.
Trying to bring a boat, yeah, trying to bring a boat into port with like stuff they shouldn't have on it, I guess.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a truly Galveston thing. Yeah. They're stealing the crab traps.
The rest of it is like meth possession or something.
Yeah. Mean, it's that's not uniquely Galveston, I'll tell you that.
One other thing we talked about with Ashton Hall is when you, it could be Ashton Hall, Bilzerian, or Andrew Tate, when you point out the inconsistencies, the fakeness, or maybe even the bumps on their arms that are clearly from steroids, people get really mad at you.
Yes.
Really mad at you.
These people do have followers. We're not just all clowning on them, right? And like laughing on them on our podcasts or in the Twitter comments or whatever. They have adherents. They have little acolytes. And those guys get really mad whenever you're like, this is kind of gay. this is fucking lame, man.
Yeah, they get really pissed. They come after you. And like I told you earlier, like these are the same kind of people that, you know, they're sitting on their couch, deeply pathetic. Their furniture is made of pizza boxes. They're on their fifth divorce. You read about it in the paper. And they see a woman on TV and they still have the gall to say, I wouldn't fuck her with a 10-foot pole.
Absolutely not. That, dude, these women, what is the problem? This is the problem with women today. Yeah, dude. Yeah. I mean, those responses to the Ashton Hall or whatever, right? They're like, you've all seen these replies. The ones that are like, you only say this because you've never accomplished anything in your life. And Andrew Tate is trying to save young men. And it's like, there is no saving you, brother. Like you are fucking gone, man.
Yeah. It's a big bummer.
Yeah. Hopefully a lot of those people are teenagers literally, and they'll grow out of it just like we did. God, I hope.
I don't know. That Gen Z vote for Trump. Then again, here's one thing I'll reveal about me and Alex past. Some folks at work have been posting their Letterman jackets, and I found mine, and it's like, oh yeah, I forgot. There's a big old teenage Republican sticker on this.
Yeah.
And I remember Alec and I were both in Teenage Republicans and Young Democrats. And we ran the Students for Ron Paul chapter at our high school. And then all the potheads showed up. We were like, we were wanting to talk about economic policy and non-interventionism. What the hell
We're laissez-faire and we don't like foreign wars, which was actually a cool opinion to have for a teenager, I think.
I think so.
In retrospect. But I was definitely doing the extremely annoying debate kid centrist guy shit. Was very much my MO.
Yeah.
In high school, embarrassingly.
And like most young libertarians, I just hated my parents, and therefore like I hated all authority. And so then I started smoking weed and I became a socialist.
Yeah, Connor's always selling himself short. He was actually kind of cool. Like, the best thing I ever did was I fucking stopped going to debate meetings and joined orchestra and got a girlfriend. That was, thank God for that. Thank you. Unnamed woman.
I never forgave you for that, because then I was all alone in debate.
Thank goodness for those friends who I don't talk to anymore. None of them have Facebooks. So I don't know what they're doing. If you're listening, hey, reach out.
Join our Discord, please.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. By the way, shout out to the two different people that messaged me and said, what the fuck are you guys not doing the podcast anymore?
Yes.
Sorry. Yes. Lots of shit's come up.
That's how we know we made it, is because people only talk to us about the podcast to yell at us about how we haven't been putting out episodes.
Hey, somebody's listening, okay?
Yeah.
That's a big dub to me.
Let's move on from Ashton Hall, unless you've got anything else.
No, God, no.
The reason why we haven't done an episode this month is, yeah, stuff, life got in the way. I traveled for spring break and got
spring break.
Yeah, and got really sick afterwards and like lost my voice. The plan was we were going to record while I was in New York for spring break. And I don't know if you know this, Alec, New York is very small and like cramped.
I thought it was big.
Yeah. So I got into my I got into my brother, shout out Nathan from our Ronald Reagan episode.
Hey, Nathan.
I went into his apartment, and I'm not judging his apartment for its size, but it was like coming from Houston, Texas. I was like, where am I going to park my horse? Like, I didn't know what it was. It was packed. And in that moment, I was like, there's no way I can record with Nathan not hearing it. So
the broom closet he was having you stay in, like fucking Harry Potter, it was not conducive to doing our podcast. I understand. Yeah.
It could have been like that King of the Hill episode where I open another door and I have like this gigantic penthouse.
Yeah. There's a big room in there.
Yeah. But
Ashton Hall is in there working out.
So when I was up in New York, I had the awesome experience of being able to go see the Moby Dick Opera that was at the Met. It premiered in Dallas back in the Obama administration, and it finally like premiering in New York. Yeah, that's an old one. I think 2010, but they were premiering it in New York City. So I saw that, and I immediately called my brothers like, hey, you want to hang out? And we all went to the opera. Yes, I am an opera fan. I am not as elite as you think I am. I get fucked up when I go to the opera.
Hey, so, that's an old pastime. Now you're Brett Easton Ellis. You are the elevated sensibilities of the actual elite, which is go to the opera, get shit hammered. It's a night out.
Yeah, we got these like really high dose gummies, and I like took one at the beginning, and then I took another one right at intermission, and I was just like, oh,
Connor just floating above his chair.
Yeah, I had a really good time. The opera itself, I'll say one positive thing, one negative thing. The positive thing, they built a curved stage on the back with all these ladder rungs that people could climb, like they were climbing to the crow's nest. And then when in the scenes in the book of Moby Dick, whenever they see a whale and they lower the whale boats to go out, that's when they would project these boats onto the ladder rungs like a bird's eye view. And people would sit on the ladder rungs and act like they're rowing. So it really looked like, hey, these guys are at sea. Very, very cool. Moby Dick does not make an appearance. You just see like a giant whale eye, which is grotesque and like terrifying in its own way.
Spoiler they alert, did. Moby Dick is a whale for the listeners who have not read.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at pictures. I just Googled Moby Dick Opera. This looks really fucking cool looking.
It's very cool.
This is very impressive looking, the boats with the superimposed. I don't know if it's a back screen or projector.
Yeah, it was a back screen, and the wall did open up. And at one point when they're like, they have a whale head that they're getting oil out of, they open it up. And you do see a whale head hanging. That's really, really neat. The Ahab we had that night, the original Ahab got sick. And so we had a weak ass Ahab, but shout out to him. It's really hard to learn an opera in like one night, and he did it. But would have been nice to have the original guy, not going to lie. And then I'll say one other positive thing before I say the negative. The other positive thing, the conductor that night, I recently watched her do conducting for a Houston-based rendition of La Boheme, and it was very astonishing to see her be able to do this.
I am like, my eyes are bulging because I was so unaware of this part of Connor's life. No, this has never come up before ever.
So when I saw her, I was like, hey, it's that lady. I saw her, and I'm elbowing my brother. I'm like, I saw I her do La Boheme. They're like, what's La Boheme? Like, it's based on Rent. It sucks. Or like, Rent's based on La Boheme. It sucks.
No, La Boheme. Yeah, the other way.
A bunch of artists, they don't want to pay rent. Boo hoo.
They really paint up this Queequeg. I'm looking at Queequeg is a West Indies character in Moby Dick for the listeners. Not right. He's a whaler, and boy, does he've got a bunch of he's got a bunch of tattoos.
Yeah.
What? Cut this shit. Fucking cut that.
The negative thing I'll say about the opera is that Ishmael and the opera is named Greenhorn, and that's a choice they made so that they could explain to Greenhorn the finer points of whaling as opposed to Ishmael describing those same things to the reader. Made a lot of sense as we were watching it. At the very, very end of the opera, which is the same at the end of the book, where Ishmael / Greenhorn is floating on Queequeg's coffin in the water, and a ship named Rachel comes across and it's like, oh, what's going on? Are there any survivors? And they rescue Greenhorn. But they ask Greenhorn his name, and he says, my name, call me Ishmael. And then it ends. And I, like, put my head in my hands, like, that's so stupid. Don't make it a prequel.
It's fine. It's a prequel. Yeah. And that's how I wrote this book. My name is Herman Melville.
But yeah, it was fun. If it ever comes to Houston, I'm definitely going to see it again. I would like to see, you know, how a different opera company puts it on. Look, I am not, I really, like, I'm not a Silver Spoon country club type. Like, I just like to get fucked up and go to the opera. Sometimes I forget. Respect. Sometimes I forget when the operas are in different languages. Sometimes I'm so fucked up I forget to read the subtitles and I have no idea what's actually going on. Like, man, that lady can sing. She seems really mad at that other guy.
He's good at singing. Yeah, I mean, man, dude, look, if there's anything that the TikTok influencer bullshit has taught me, it's pick a thing, fucking be about it. Right? Be unapologetically about your thing. I like to get fucked up and go to the opera. That's way more interesting than fucking 99% of the people that I know and definitely that are on the internet talking and doing shit on the internet. That's
it's
awesome.
Nice to get out of the house. And, you know, since I'm in grad school, I got a student ID, so I get tickets really cheap.
Yeah, that's a great fucking reason.
Trust me, my love of the opera has an expiration date. It's when I graduate.
When you ask, they're like, student ticket, please. And they're like just shaking their head. They're like, what a bullshit artist.
Yeah. I go to HCC for one class a semester just to get discounts everywhere else. All right. Fuck. But yeah, that's the reason why we didn't record anything, because I got sick and
Connor was too busy watching operas.
Yeah.
Oh man, so good.
Yeah.
But wait, there's actually like a lot of propaganda shit going on so that we didn't even talk about on our pre-call.
Oh, what do we got?
So USAID, right, has famously been defunded, and
that's right.
No court can make Trump actually give them any more money. So all that shit's just fucking gone. And Radio Free Europe / Asia, I forget what the parent company's called, has been fucking liquidated.
Yeah, Voice of America is gone.
Voice of America is gone, bro. It's
Radio Marti out in Cuba. Miami. They're gone too.
And I will be honest, like Voice of America does produce some good reporting now and again. But look, I mean, this is a propagandos podcast, and you got to say, if you don't know what Voice of America is, or Radio Free Asia, or Radio Free Europe, right? These are unabashedly propaganda outlets, right? They do things for foreign audiences whose governments are not aligned with America that make those governments look bad. And like I recently listened, there was an On the Media episode with a lady who I don't know if she works at Voice of America now, but she certainly has in the past. And they were pretty unabashed about this, right? She's like, haha, you can call propaganda, you know? I mean, it did win the Cold War, and it's like, oh, brother, you know? But like even the people that would theoretically be that are frustrated by this, as with, you know, the frustrated by the breakdown of a lot of American soft power, it seems. By the way, very cheap soft power, because the VOA, I don't know if you've ever seen the VOA budget, it's like $250 million a year. It's like nothing. That's nothing. That's nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Those people, I think, if they're being honest, would say, yeah, this is propaganda and America's good, and therefore it's propaganda for a good cause, right? We're speaking truth to power. And by the way, this is another line I mined from that On the Media interview. Propaganda works best when it's true. And boy, does that level of smugness really not make me feel bad that these fuckers have lost their jobs, because holy shit, are they blowing smoke up their own asses.
That's so funny.
Woo. If I were
in her seat and like being interviewed about this, my whole thing would be like, well, of course it's propaganda, but who are we to say that propaganda is a dirty word? It's a tool. Mm-hmm. Like it helps us. And like, yeah, you clearly you're not a good propagandist if you're like, yeah, but like it's true. Like, no.
Well, I mean, hey, that's
dance
thing you
around
just said,
the lasers, man.
I'm pretty sure you and me agree about that, right? We're not, propaganda's a thing. Everybody's doing it. There's no saying it's bad if it's for good reasons, right? We just disagree on what that is. I have to insist, right, at how funny this is as one, a cost-cutting measure, or for Trump just like, or I don't know who this comes from, Trump or Musk or whoever owning the libs. Voice of America employs less than 1,000 people as of 2021. So like, the cost saving, I mean, what, like these institutions, the fascinating thing, these institutions have taken decades, if not, I mean, almost a century, I think, with Voice of America, because it's right after the Second World War. So we're the better part of a century, right? To create and to cultivate and to, you know, make, produce fruit, right? Just as in, you know, USAID and all the things that development agency, in quotes, right, supports in terms of like a foreign elite, elite society kind of structures that, by the way, have a pretty hard bias towards the United States. Otherwise, they wouldn't get funding. Those things take a long time to create. And we are just fucking pouring bleach in that garden, right? I mean, it's just like uprooting every single fucking plant that was growing there before.
It's very funny. The funniest thing about all of it is that he Trump appointed Carrie Lake to run Voice of America, former perennial Arizona candidate. Look her up.
Oh, yeah.
Also, you know, a former television broadcaster. So she was like a household name in Phoenix, Arizona, I believe. But, you know, she had broadcasting experience, puts her in charge of the department, and then immediately guts it. So I'm sure she's just like, cool, man. Thanks a lot.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I'm not a billionaire like Linda McMahon. I need a job after this.
I need an actual job. Get appointed, immediately get fired from the job you were just appointed to, right? Like, not even you get fired. They just dissolve the thing that you're in charge
of. Oh, yeah. Your job just doesn't exist anymore.
That's very, very funny, man.
What else? What else? What are some other? I mean, it's not quite propaganda, but I saw that Pete Hegseth and company have a group chat without Elon Musk in it. That
yes,
they're just like divulging war secrets.
So Pete Hegseth and group of named people,
John Ratcliffe, Michael Walls and or Waltz and JD Vance.
People within, let's say, the security apparatus, within the administration of, in the Trump administration, had a group chat where they accidentally added a person that worked at the New York Times.
The editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, who is also a former IDF security guard and helped orchestrate the lie to pull off the Iraq War. So there's a reason why this guy was in their phone.
Yeah, so I mean, there's been some speculation, by the way, on the kind of kookier sides of the internet, which I sometimes side with, that like this, in fact, could be a psyop of their own making, right? To like, I don't know, look cool or look like they're doing cool stuff vis-a-vis Yemen. I don't think they're that smart. I think they just fucked this one up. And ironically, somebody that works for The Atlantic, I guess, whistle blew about it. But the enormous irony of this is that this prompted like John Ratcliffe, who's like the CIA director, is like questioning whether or not this is, you know, somebody's doing, like, how did this person get added to the group chat? Which is, if that implies that this is like a deep state architecture thing, that they've been betrayed by the CIA or something, like, I'm not really sure what the implication is. But if Trump goes after the CIA, God damn, he's the motherfucking goat, y'all. Like he is doing the third world this shit, where he's just like tearing down, you know, the great Satan or whatever. Like, it's so crazy.
Yeah, there's so much that it's like, I don't know, man. It's been interesting to see the worst guy I know making cuts that I'm like in favor of, but also, but hang on, let me follow that up with saying, with a majority of cuts I do not agree with.
Yes, obviously, right? I mean, these same people want to basically delete Social Security if they can. So, you know, that's alarming.
That's also, you mentioned, you know, kind of weird Twitter, conspiracy Twitter. We also wanted to talk briefly in this episode about conspiracy theories, but specifically the people we know that believe them.
Yes.
So this topic came up just because we both have people in our life or our family that have espoused certain conspiracy theories that sometimes they're fun. Sometimes they're like, yeah, you got a good point. I don't really know the answer to that. And sometimes they're just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And I, for this segment, I read this article by Dr. Songjae Min out in Pace University called Who Believes in Conspiracy Theories? Network Diversity, Political Discussion, and Conservative Conspiracy Theories on Social Media. And what this paper basically finds is that echo chambers create the most volatile conspiracy theory. So it's when you are only surrounded by politically like-minded people that you get the really weird shit, the QAnon level shit, and not the QAnon level shit about like, oh, Hollywood sickos are like kidnapping children. It's
true.
It's a, well, you know,
kind of,
yeah. It's where if you get enough QAnon people together in a room, if you put enough QAnon people in front of a typewriter, eventually they're going to write, there are mole people living beneath the hollow earth that are running politics. This Fuck is yes, what dude. They believe. That or what's that website you showed me where it's just like Alec Baldwin has been secretly dead, killed in a military tribunal.
Real Raw News. See if it's still up because it was I think the guy who ran it may have died or may have literally run out of money to keep it afloat.
I'll say
so
this
for a long time.
Yeah, I feel like a clone of him died and he's actually still publishing articles.
It's still up.
Yes, Real Raw News. This is where you if you want to have your finger on the pulse of like where are these QAnon people at now. Like the people that are like, oh, John Fetterman's been replaced with a lookalike clone. Like this is where they get their news from. Real Raw yes. News.
Jag executes Jim Acosta. Oh man. So like Connor, I have family members that are to go way back, right? Like birthers, right? To go all the way back to like the early administration that believe that Obama is probably not a citizen. I think family members that believe that he's basically a Muslim or have made statements essentially to that effect. I think you're the same.
I don't have anyone that's talking about birthers, but I do have people that say that Michelle Obama is actually calling the shots and that Biden was going to drop out and Michelle Obama is going to become president.
I think I've basically heard the same thing from my family members. Yes.
Which makes no, I mean, she doesn't have one. She has no political experience. Two, she suggested that kids should maybe eat better in public schools and people lost their fucking mind. So no, she's not going to become the president.
Do you think we should have a healthy sandwich? People are like, fucking communists.
Yeah. And now we have Make America Healthy Again. I cannot. Sometimes I just gotta like not think too deeply about the psychology of these people.
The kids, they're too fat. We gotta do something about it. I've got coworkers with a bunch of kooky beliefs, family members, neighbors, friends of friends, you know, the kind of people that you're at a party and you know, you lightly touch on politics and then they just go from 0 to 100 and tell you something where you're like, what? excuse me.
Yes.
I
really want to hear like what's the last one you heard that you're just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
The one that I remember most clearly is in the last election cycle. So this was 2020, right? Agreeing with a person like at a barbecue, basically. That it seems like, and by the way, this was after the hurricane, right? So like COVID had briefly, there was a hurricane in 2020, Hurricane Laura that hit Lake Charles. And this was during COVID and COVID just briefly stopped, right? Because there was a hurricane and there was no way to practice social distancing and stuff. So All of a sudden you were just like at barbecues and stuff, like no power and shit like this. So you're hanging out, you're drinking beer out of a cooler. There's no power, right? And you get to talking and there's still an election going on, right? And by this time, Biden had been selected. And I think I remember I was, you know, very frustrated that the Bernie campaign was over at the time. And so, you know, you're bitching about Biden. And so I was saying, you know, I don't even think he's all there. It just seems old. It seems kind of abusive. And they said, oh, so you know about that, huh? Yeah. They're going to kill Joe Biden and replace him with Oprah. And I was just like,
Oprah,
what? I was like, what? Because I think I had heard the like Michelle Obama thing already, right? Like multiple times, people calling for Michelle to run. And like, I was expecting that. And when it was a different black lady, I was like, what? Oprah?
It's 5D chess, man. They're putting in the vaccine mandate. We're getting the president with the vaccine mandate so we can pull the rug and put in the lady who introduced anti-vax movement to America.
Exactly. Exactly.
Never forget, yeah. Oprah.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Oprah is like a right-wing conspiracy, like Nexus, right? She started so much of the shit that's now, you know, presumably allied against her, right? As like a, somehow she's like a liberal icon now. Anyway, but yeah, that's the funny thing about these kinds of like the small conspiracy theories, right? Is there's just no telling like where that came from or what kind of crazy thing your like coworker's gonna say.
I mean, I think I've mentioned on the podcast before about when the Hawaii fires were going on, and my brother sent me a video that basically was like, there's a new flavor of Mountain Dew called Maui Burst. Mountain Dew, D-E-W, direct energy weapon, Maui
Hell
Burst.
Yes.
Maui had burst into flames. And I told the person who sent this to me that you have, essentially what I told them is you have worms in your brain.
so this is a nice thing where like only the houses that had blue tarps on them or something didn't burn in the fires.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Huh? How come none of the celebrities' houses burned down? They live in a nicer part of the Hawaii where like the power infrastructure isn't like falling apart and sparking. Like there's reasons why these things happen.
I think I recently heard one that the fires in LA were just fake. The ones that like, right around Christmas. Was that after Christmas?
It was like early January.
It was
this year, I believe.
That all that was fake. All that was AI and manufactured.
Oh my God.
But I
saw Whitney Cummings walking around saying like it was an arsonist, we got to get him.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, like someone posted footage of like a traffic light that was shooting sparks out of it because they weren't taking care of it.
Everything's just broken. Yeah.
Yeah. And Santa Ana winds picked up and it just like created this massive firestorm. California, known for having wild fucking fires, has one in an election year, and suddenly,
you expect normies to know that? Like, no, man.
No,
like,
of course not.
They think it's like Venezuelan ISIS members or something. Like,
yeah. That was another good one. The Venezuelan gang taking over that Colorado apartment. Oh,
we literally talked about that on the show. But like, so the thing I'm getting at is like something happened to me the other day that was so funny that I thought I would illustrate to it on the podcast. Thank God that nobody in my life even knows that I have a podcast because they know who they are. So I went to lunch with some coworkers, and as you do, right, you're sitting there, you're waiting for your food to come, and we're all on our phones, right? And my boomer coworker turns his phone around and kind of chuckles and says, "Check this out, man! They found giants, right?" And what he shows us is me and my other coworker is a clearly AI generated and or Photoshop generated image, one of these things that you probably maybe seen in like the weirder ads that Facebook shows you of like a giant skeleton, like literally like a 40-foot tall skeleton with like a guy next to it. And presumably they're an archaeologist or something and they've discovered the Nephilim, right? Good news is he turns his phone back around. He goes, "Yeah, that's probably fake. That's probably fake." Right. And I'm like, you know, what are you going to do? I just say nothing. Right. Just say nothing. So this person that has identified that image as probably fake, probably. Later on, at that same sitting, at the same lunch, right, we're kind of done. Politics gets brought up, and right, these are deeply MAGA people, but at least I have share some common ground. I hate the fucking Democrats, right? Especially the establishment Democrats. I don't like Joe Biden. So we get again, right, like the other guy, all of this starts whenever you bitch about Joe Biden, and then you hear some crazy ass shit. So here I am complaining about Joe Biden and how he definitely has dementia and how the whole thing was just a sad state of affairs last year, right? And he goes, oh, so did you know that they found the fake White House? And I'm like, what? Or maybe the fake Oval Office or something. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And this person's contention, literally, was that it literally, in his words, Joe Biden has never stepped foot in the White House. Never. He was on like a fake soundstage, right? They didn't bring him into the real White House. He was in a fake White House. And then he also brought up something that's real, which is this controversy about this e-signing, right? That most bills are actually e-signed. They don't get out the marker like Donald Trump and put a big signature. They just like click a button and sign it. And the idea maybe that's been proffered around that it's possible that Joe Biden did not actually sign a bunch of legislation. Maybe somebody just ticked a box, right?
That's why Trump is trying to undo all those executive orders.
Well, I mean, so that is a troubling, and real, both of those two things are facts, right? Joe Biden has brain problems and they're this e-signing thing. And then you put both those together and you go like, oh fuck, are interns signing laws like during the Biden administration? Whatever. That's a real thing, right? So he mentions a real thing. And then this other thing, which is like, there's a fake White House. Joe Biden never went to the White House. And I'm like, aren't there a bunch of pictures and videos of him at the White House, like clearly at the White House? He goes, yep, all fake. Unfortunately, all fake, right? And like the conversation ended pretty soon after that. But the question that I proffered to him was like, what would even be the point of that? Like, why would they even need to do that, right? Yeah. And then that conversation ended shortly. So just remember, listener, right? Like there is no way to tell like what kind of shit people will believe that are like alienated from a system and like how they'll process it, what they're going to make up, right? And what like works on their brains in a way that kind of generates like forward momentum that creates a worldview, right? There's no telling.
That's right. There are conspiracies everywhere for those with the ears to hear them.
The ears to hear, the eyes to see, the fingers to type into Grok image generator, make fake Joe Biden scenery. I mean, there is actual hope in that, Connor, because I know that we're kind of sometimes very, very depressing. I really do. I mean, that's a depressing story, but like, I do actually take some hope in that like none of these people even know like what to believe or like what planet they're on. Like, you might tell them about American socialism tomorrow, and they and at like conversations we've probably both had, and they go like, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I mean that was kind of my hope when MAGA communism kicked off. I was like, all right, is this guy Jackson Hinkle going to be able to like dupe MAGA people? And he didn't. You know, I mean, he duped the American Communist Party into letting him join and be a big wig in the American Communist Party.
I have to say, I'm extremely jealous. He's hanging out with Houthis. He's wearing clothes and shit. He's going to like cool parades with them and stuff. What a, I mean, honestly, like, as far as vacations go, sick.
Yeah, I'd be curious that friend of yours or that coworker of yours that mentioned a fake White House. I'd be curious what he thinks about the moon landing, because it's got to be like a seed of that, right?
I will ask, and I think he will actually be tickled that I asked.
Yeah, he like whips around, and is like, I'm glad you asked, and pulls out a dossier.
Well, because like that's the crazy shit. That guy, I mean, he's a little bit too young, I think. He's like on the cusp of like end of boomer, right? But my dad remembers the moon landing. And like a bunch of people that are his age, I think the moon landing shit doesn't work on them because they remember seeing it on TV. So it's just like welded to the inside of their skull. But I'll definitely ask and like get back to you on the pod about that. Because
actually,
yeah,
I'd be how about you maybe say this?
Yeah,
how about you say this? You'll reveal the answer only on our Discord.
Yeah. There you go. Join the Discord. We'll be revealing it in 2 or 3 days. So whenever it comes up at work.
My last thing that I'll say about the conspiracy stuff is related to this paper. It's a caveat I have with the paper. I agree with the findings, but the methods were a little flawed in my opinion because he only tests. He sends out a survey to all these participants, and ask how they feel about different conspiracy theories. And the only liberal or left-leaning conspiracy that he floats is Bush did 9/11, basically. And it's like there is a world of left-leaning conspiracy theories that, like, I feel that you could have gone into about this. Like, this was written in 2021, and he name dropped January 6th. I'm like, okay, why didn't you talk about the Russian P tape or the Steele dossier?
Yeah.
Like, that's the big one.
Russiagate's so much bigger than Bush did 9/11.
I think to say that Russiagate is a conspiracy would open up the author to accusations of revealing bias,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know him personally, so I can't
talk about propaganda. I mean, that, yeah. You know, that's like Zizek says, it's the water you swim in, right? So like, if there's these sacred cows that you can't you know, you can't criticize lest you be biased, right? So you can't even like, you can't even really accurately depict both sides of the argument. You know, right, that you're just kind of swimming in it.
I mean, you just have to, if you've listened to every single episode and have asked yourself, why haven't the propagandos talked about X? Well, and not Twitter. I mean, like, fill in the blank. Well, it's probably because we'll get in trouble if we talk about it.
Yeah, there's a let's just leave it at that.
We have a list of no-nos.
Yeah, it's not a super long list, but there's definitely some on there. We agree with it. why haven't they talked about the fact that JFK was murdered by the CIA? Well,
or apparently Mossad. I don't know.
Like, or Mossad. It probably wasn't Mossad.
Yeah, that's been the best part about the JFK file leaks is that nothing has come out of it.
Oh yeah.
They accidentally leaked everybody's social security numbers and had to issue new social security numbers and have offered free credit monitoring, but I doubt that'll actually happen.
It'd be so funny if you got your new social security number and it was the last number was just one higher than the old one. They just bump everybody up a number.
Or they rotate it so like the first number is now the last number and it's just like all slides up.
This is just lazy. we should maybe mention like the back-to-back
Epstein
releases
files.
The Epstein files and the JFK files.
Ooh, you called me in a huff when those Epstein files.
I was so annoyed because I am a big Epstein head. It's one of those things that drove me insane.
He's pro Epstein.
Yeah, I like Epstein. Yeah, I agree with Epstein. It's one of those things that drove me insane was like learning about all that in I guess 2020, 2021. Definitely like deep diving into it during the pandemic was not good for my brain. Right. And I'm a moderate JFK conspiracy head, although it doesn't really matter that much. And that is like beautiful propaganda, I think, on the part of like Trump to his own base. Right. Which is just it fully embodies like the post truth reality, which is just release a bunch of pictures of you with a fucking binder, right? Nobody's gonna read this shit. Just say you did the thing. Just say you did it, right? All of your psychophants are like, he believes in the truth. Folks, he loves the truth. He believes
in it.
He loves
the truth. And now it's time for me to wait for my favorite streamer to tell me what's in those files.
Thank you, Hassan.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, the JFK files unironically did actually release some hitherto redacted elements of some documents that were there. By the way, Mossad mentioned I'm not joking. Mossad mentioned. But
I did see one tidbit that was really interesting where I believe it was Nancy Reagan would often like ask a astrologer for like guidance to help like push her husband into certain decisions. And it has been revealed that potentially the CIA printed out fake birth astral charts to convince this astrologer to give information that they wanted
relayed
to the president. Like that's yeah.
The CIA controlling the president through astrology charts given to his wife. Like,
dude,
what the fuck?
I mean, I'm sure there were like some people that are like, this is not what I signed up for when I joined the CIA. And then there are some people like, this is exactly what I signed up for.
This rules.
Yeah. I mean, we see a similar thing with Keir Starmer writing, giving a letter to Trump, being like, the king has never done this before. You're the first. You know what? The only person who ever received a president from the King of England before you, Jesus Christ. And Trump's like, oh, wow.
Wow.
And that's how you get Trump to do whatever you want.
You're reminding me. So I have been reminding so many people. I was not like, it was not clear to me how many people weren't paying attention to all the funny shit that happened during the Trump administration. I've told multiple people about the RBG clip where he, the famous one, wow. She lived a beautiful life. Maybe we'll insert it right here.
She just died? Wow. I didn't know that. I just, you're telling me now for the first time. She led an amazing life. What else can you say? She was an amazing woman. Whether you agreed or not, she was an amazing woman who led an amazing life. Actually sad to hear that. I am sad to hear that. Thank you very much.
I've told multiple people about it and they're like, no way. And they're like, Tiny Dancer. And I'm like, it's playing in the background. It's perfect. And they're like, how have I not heard of this? And like, that's the wild thing. Just like about the kind of information that you receive that informs your worldview. I have listened to that clip hundreds, if not possibly thousands of times. Yeah. It's like what I hear when my brain is like just turned off enough where I'm just about to go to sleep. I hear like Tiny Dancer playing and Air Force One like whirring up in the background and him going, wow, like over and
you're
over.
Telling
and
me people, for the first time.
I'm hearing it for the first time. Wow, that actually, I'm really sad to hear that. And other people have just never experienced that.
That's so sad.
There's oceans between us, Connor. There's oceans.
Man. You got anything else?
No, but that was a wonderful episode. Thank you for recording with me, Connor. It's a pleasure. I really do hope Moby Dick comes to Houston and you can see the opera again. I would love to come down for Moby Dick.
Dude, fuck yeah.
That'd be great.
Why not?
I'm not going to New York, though.
No. I'll probably never go to New York again. It was a lot of fun, but a lot of walking. And it wasn't even the walking that bothered me. It was the locals that I was hanging out with are used to it. And I was just like, hang on now. Like I had to
That's
ask
so
him to
funny.
Wait a couple times. And I was just like pooping much. I was like, oh, I can't. I'm getting my steps in, but it sucks. Yeah. I'm glad to be home, and then I'm going to Vegas next weekend. Fuck me.
But that's business, not pleasure.
That's true. I'll be there for work, and I'll be going to the Sphere. I can't wait.
God, it's it's very weird. If you have not been inside it, it's profoundly bizarre. It's like a big empty gray box that's really weirdly shaped on the inside. And you're like, who is this for? What the fuck is this place?
Me.
This guy. Fucking stone.
All right. Well, that about does it for. Oh, yeah. What do you got?
So one more time. So what was the article that we mentioned earlier?
The article listeners we mentioned was by Dr. Songjae Min from Pace University called Who Believes in Conspiracy Theories, Network Diversity, Political Discussion, and Conservative Conspiracy Theories on Social Media? I will be linking to that in the show description, and I'll make sure that I link a non-paywalled version. Sorry, Dr. Min, but no.
not sorry. And I will be linking to Michael Baxter, March 11, 2025, Michael Pence Military Tribunal Conclusion on realrawnews.com.
Yeah. Did they kill him? Did they kill Michael Pence?
I don't know. There are 619 comments on this. People still are definitely into Real Raw News.
This is we should do a whole episode on Real Raw News.
We really ought to. I don't know if they have the full back catalog because, I mean, it never really changes. So just like insert whatever's going on.
Oh, yeah.
At that time.
It's like a template of famous celebrity and or Democrat has been executed in secret.
Yes,
and
it's so awesome. Yeah. Here's just a little snippet. I'll just read the first line.
Okay.
Quote, "I never in my life intentionally molested or harmed a child," end quote. Mike Pence screeched at Rear Admiral Leah Reynolds as she showed the panelists a photograph of Pence pulling down a 7-year-old boy's underwear in a Maryland hotel. This guy is possible. By the way, Michael, all written by Michael Baxter. He might be the most prolific fan fiction writer of all time. It's really incredible. He's been doing this shit for like a decade now. It's so awesome.
All right, listeners, keep an eye out for our upcoming Real Raw News. We will find a great guest for this. We promise. Yes.
They're all like this, by the way. It's so crazy. It's insane.
Well, all right. That about does it for this week. Excelsior, Propagandos. And as always, keep your eyes on the skies.